To be with you here tonight during my first visit to South Africa. I have been meaning to come here for many years. I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, someone's Bhakti True Maharaj asked me to come, and then last year, Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, he was urging me very strongly to come. And then I met so many older devotees from South Africa whenever I would stay with His Holiness Dhiraj Maharaj in California. I stay with him about twice every year. So I met some of your leaders. As I said, this is my first visit here. Although I travel on every continent of the world. I guess I'm saving the best for last. I'm sorry that we're a little late tonight, but the traffic was beyond everyone's expectations. Regardless of the time, regardless of the place, Krishna, by aiming his instructions at Arjuna, has indeed made it possible for the whole world to be Krishna conscious. Simply by Lord Krishna speaking to Arjuna, the whole world possesses the necessary knowledge for obtaining the perfection of life. Now, the problem is that most people are not interested in the perfection of life. If you say to persons, would you like to make your life perfect? Or what is your idea of perfection in life? Most people do not know what to say. They've never thought of such a thing. This ignorance can easily be corrected by Lord Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita. We should never think that Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita are meant for a certain time only, or a certain place only, or a certain people only. Everywhere you go in the world, you'll find that people are hungry for Lord Krishna's teachings. What is the special thing about Bhagavad Gita? First of all, understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although unlimited, can incarnate himself to fit within the range of your limited perception. So, from your side, it is not possible to understand God, because you are limited, and God is unlimited. But because Krishna is unlimited, he has unlimited possibilities. Therefore, even though you are limited, Krishna can manifest himself to you because he's unlimited. So this is how Krishna consciousness works. Often, the few people who are interested in God will say, but if there is a God, we can never know him because our senses are limited and imperfect. That is only half the truth. Because the Supreme Lord has infinite possibilities, he can manifest himself in any way he likes. Krishna can manifest himself as his name. Therefore, we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Krishna can manifest himself as the book, Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, we're very eager to hear again and again Lord Krishna's instructions to Arjuna. Krishna can manifest as the deity incarnation, the Archa-Vigraha. He looks like matter because that's the only thing your eyes recognize. Because your eyes are not able to see spirit, Krishna mercifully says, okay, my spiritual being will come before you looking like I'm matter so you can see me. You get the same benefit of worshiping the Lord in Vaikuntha as you get from worshiping the deity in the temple. So it's not like by worshiping the deity in the temple, that's kind of a lesser substitute. No, there's no difference. Krishna has unlimited possibilities. Therefore, he can appear as his holy name, as the literary incarnation, as the deity incarnation. So many ways Krishna is coming to us just to help us go back to Godhead. But our problem is we're not eager to go back to Godhead. Krishna is more eager to take us back to Godhead than we are to go. What are we thinking? We are thinking, this world is not so bad. There are a few problems, of course. Sometimes the economic, political situation gets a little difficult. Sometimes health problems are there, family problems. But generally, everyone is thinking, it's not so bad. For example, just like His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, I travel above the Arctic Circle to Murmansk in Russia. So, when I tell devotees in Australia and New Zealand about Murmansk, they cannot believe it. Especially in Australia, where they have the expression, life is a beach. So, for them, winter means some days, rare days it can be 8 degrees, 1 or 2 days a year. So when I tell them about Murmansk above the Arctic Circle, where there's 2 weeks of summer, it's hard for them to understand. So, you haven't experienced winter days of 40 below zero. But that's what the people up there are accustomed to. Just 2 weeks of summer where maybe it becomes 20 degrees. Just 2 weeks and that's it. So, when the Australians or New Zealanders hear about life above the Arctic Circle, and yes, Sri Sri Gaur Nittai is there above the Arctic Circle, installed deities. So, the devotees down under, they say, oh, if I lived up there above the Arctic Circle, then I would really be Krishna conscious. I can just understand there's no sense gratification there. In that cold climate with only 2 weeks of summer, yes, I would really be surrendered. But when I tell that to the people in Murmansk, they just laugh. If you want Maya, you'll find Maya anywhere. So I said, well, what do you do when it's 45 below zero outside? They just looked at me like I was silly. I mean, what do we do? If we want to, we just, you know, stay inside the house, turn up the heat, and we have a good time with all the Kali Yuga delights that everybody else indulges in. There's no problem. They're looking at me like that. There's no problem. All the vices are here. Just because it's 40 degrees below zero outside doesn't stop the Kali Yuga train. So, everywhere people are subject to the same illusion, and everywhere Krishna's instructions can help them. We need some help to see how Bhagavad Gita can shape our daily life. Otherwise we may think, oh, it's a shastra, it's a respectable book. Maybe we should do ashram before we touch it. Yes, Bhagavad Gita. We keep it on a special place on the bookshelf. Or we happen to walk by it, we touch it to our head, and then we put it back on the shelf. There's much more to Bhagavad Gita than that. And the more we try to apply Krishna's instructions to our daily life, the more we'll see that we have the same advantage that Arjuna had. Maybe some of you are thinking that, oh, if only I had Arjuna's advantage. If only I was there on the chariot with Krishna, listening to Krishna explain and answer questions, then I would easily become Krishna conscious. But the fact is, you have the same advantage that Arjuna had, no less. By taking shelter of Bhagavad Gita, you get the same presence of the Lord that Arjuna had. So this is how Krishna consciousness is spreading all over the world. Whether it's above the Arctic Circle or down near Antarctica, at the bottom of New Zealand, Krishna consciousness is there. At the bottom of Chile and Argentina, Krishna consciousness is there. Everywhere. Because Lord Krishna's instructions apply to everyone, in all times, in all places. After the battle of Kurukshetra, when Lord Krishna departed from this world, Arjuna was feeling some difficulty in separation. You know how Yudhisthira Maharaj greeted Arjuna when Arjuna finally came back from Dwarka late. So Yudhisthira saw that Arjuna was so dejected, so downcast. Yudhisthira Maharaj suspected what had happened. But still he asked many, many questions about what possibly could be wrong. And then finally, he asked the inevitable question, are you looking so downcast because Lord Krishna has left this world? And Arjuna replied, yes, the sun of this world has departed. And now the whole world is plunged into darkness because of separation from Krishna. Arjuna was no longer possessing all the powers he had when Krishna was present. Why is that? Because those great powers that Arjuna demonstrated in the battle of Kurukshetra, they were not necessary for going back to Godhead. So Krishna took the powers back. Arjuna could understand what was going on. He said, I've got the same Gandiva bow. I've got the same chariot, the same horses. I'm the same Arjuna. But now, no potency. In this way, Krishna is showing that even a soul as great as Arjuna is completely dependent on the Lord for his abilities. Arjuna was very distraught, very dejected. But then he remembered that I have been dejected. I have been distraught before. At the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, I had dropped my bow. I had lost my composure because of weakness. I was totally bewildered. But I listened to Krishna, and Krishna's instructions restored my transcendental intelligence. So Arjuna thought, here I am again, feeling distraught. Krishna has gone. What should I do? Let me take shelter of those same instructions that Krishna gave me before the battle of Kurukshetra. Now that Krishna is no longer physically present in this world, or ordinary eyes. What did Arjuna notice in himself when he began to take shelter of Krishna's instructions? He said, now I'm attracted to those instructions imparted by Lord Govinda. Those instructions imparted by Lord Govinda are good for all times, all places. As a result, all the lamentation and grief in my mind is fading. All the trash of material contamination in my thoughts is fading. These are the effects of hearing Krishna's instructions. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in any time, any place, any situation. Just by living in this world, you'll always find there are some critical moments, some tense situations. or some great embarrassments. It is the job of material nature to embarrass you, in case you haven't noticed. So many of you had that experience. If you have not had that experience yet, you will have that experience. That you made very nice plans, very expertly composed plans, but then something unpredictable happens and you are left feeling devastated. That is the nature of life in this world. It will happen to everyone, and it has happened to everyone in the past. Bhagavad Gita will protect you from those circumstances. The more that you take shelter of Krishna's instructions, the more you are able to benefit yourself and then benefit others. Without Krishna's instructions, how can you actually do good for yourself? You leave yourself open for so many upsets and disturbances and illusions. Of course, the way society is constructed, the material society is always beckoning you. Come on, you can live without Krishna. Or you can believe in Krishna, but you don't have to follow his instructions. The main thing is that you believe in Krishna, and then you live your life as you like. This is complete misunderstanding of Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma, the science of the Lord, means what Krishna says, I do, because I am Krishna's part. We want the active application of Bhagavad Gita in our life. We want to be able to show our relatives, our neighbors, our friends, the benefit that comes by surrendering to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna doesn't simply mean that we believe in Krishna. Surrender to Krishna means we act on Krishna's instructions. And then you'll see the difference in life. Whatever problem you have, whatever problem there is in the world, economic, political, psychological, Bhagavad Gita can solve it. This is how the devotee of Krishna, the Krishna Bhakta, has great determination, not based on blind faith. I believe in Krishna. Not simply some religious sentiment, but practical experience of seeing how Lord Krishna's instructions can transform everyone. That is the great satisfaction of the devotee of the Lord. As you know, there are different levels of religious instruction for different types of people. But in Bhagavad Gita, you have the handbook for the most civilized persons. Now, in this time of Kali Yuga, in many places you don't even have the basics of human civilization. That is the effect of societies overindulging in economic development. They have no idea anymore what are the basics of human civilization in terms of personal qualities. Everyone now thinks the basics of human civilization are consumer goods, not the brahminical qualities, control of the mind, control of the senses, honesty, simplicity, both theoretical and realized knowledge of God, cleanliness, austerity. The basic necessities of life are consumer goods. You can see, the more people think like this, the more dissatisfied they become. How low will the standard go? Just like you can see that those who are in their 40s now don't exactly live like their parents lived. And those who are in their 20s now, they're not exactly living like those who live. Those who are in their 40s are living. And those who are teenagers, they're not living like those who are in the 20s now. Everything is going lower and lower in terms of standards of human behavior. Everyone can see that. So, how low will the standard go? How less and less will the culture of proper human development become? An intelligent person thinks about these things. Okay, my standard isn't as high as my grandmother's standard. Now, what will my grandchildren's standard be? As every generation goes by, the standard gets less and less and less. You can see that. So then, an intelligent person thinks, how low can things get? You can just take England, for example. I was talking with the devotees from Pretoria about the social statistics from England, the birthplace of modern Western civilization. Horrible. It's the divorce capital of Europe. The latest statistics show horrible things. One out of every four 11-year-olds in England is having illicit affairs. One out of four 15-year-olds is suffering from a stress disorder. First of all, because of seeing so much dysfunction in their home. In the minority cases where there are two parents at home, the parents are fighting. And those are the minority cases when two parents are at home. They're fighting so much that the 15-year-old is stressed out. And then the second reason the 15-year-old is stressed out is because of school pressure, having to compete in the job market. So now you can say, oh well, that's England, yes. But these things are going all over the world now. I'm sure you can see the differences here between one generation and the other. When will we understand that we're not being primitive or tribalistic or ethnocentric to say that Lord Krishna's instructions are the best? Practically, you can see. There's no greater source of spiritual knowledge, and also there's no greater source of information on how to apply spiritual knowledge in the material world. So we have a lot to be proud about in a humble way. We have the best, but then we have to become worthy of having the best. This is how a devotee feels. This is how a devotee thinks. Pride in Krishna, but at the same time feeling, I'm so unqualified to have this best knowledge, this best life that Lord Krishna gives. So in this way, we're not fanatics, we're not fundamentalists. Yes, we say Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita are the best. But at the same time, we say, but we are not the best. This is the very rich emotional life of a devotee. I am proud of Krishna. At the same time, I am an unworthy servant of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya taught us to think like that. Not that Krishna is great, therefore I am great. Krishna is great, and some or other, I have the good fortune of serving Krishna, even though I don't deserve it. That's how a devotee thinks. As I said, this is my first time in South Africa, so I'm eager to learn about how the people are taking to Krishna consciousness. And Then when I go to other places in the world, I can tell them about what's happening here. All right. Are there any questions? How may a devotee working many hours, laboring, be able to remain focused and have the same advantage as a devotee having more association of devotees and more service? For example, pujari. Someone asked me this question in Pretoria. It's basically the same kind of question. And I answered them by quoting from Krishna's Leela with Sudama Vipra, when Krishna and Sudama Vipra were reminiscing about their childhood years at the Gurukula of Sandipani Muni. So, what happened was Sudama had come to Dwarka and he was in the palace of Rukmini, seated on Rukmini's bed. Krishna had just worshipped him, washed his feet, put the water on his head, like that, offered him lamps and incense and smeared sandalwood paste on his body, a guru, kumkum. So then Krishna looked at him and said, tell me, after you left the ashram of our Guru Maharaj, did you find a compatible wife? I know you must have remunerated Sandipani Muni appropriately. And then, did you get a compatible wife? Why did Krishna ask him that question? Because Krishna could see he's not wearing the dress of a renunciate, brahmacharya sannyasi, but if he's a householder, why is he wearing such torn cloth? Why is he wearing such dirty clothes? And he's looking so emaciated, so thin, that his veins are showing. Why? Krishna was thinking. Then Krishna, just as he was thinking that, understood. And he said to the brahmana, Sudama, you and I share something in common. You don't have any material desires. But like me, you are living in household life just to show a proper example. So then, the Lord began to reminisce about their life in the Gurukula of Sandipani Muni. And Krishna explained that it is absolutely essential for a human society to be divided into ashrams. This must be done for the spiritual development of the individual. But Krishna also said, if you simply take up an ashram, but do not get guidance, this doesn't please me. Krishna said, this is indirect following of the ashram system. If you simply take up an ashram and do not accept guidance, the Lord says, it doesn't please me. It's indirect following of the ashram system. Therefore, how may a devotee who works many hours have the same advantage as a devotee who's like a pujari? If both devotees are getting guidance, then they have the same advantage. Every ashram, whether grihastha, brahmachari, vanaprastha or sannyas, requires guidance. That is what makes the ashram work. But if we take up a particular ashram and think, okay, I don't need to ask any advice. I don't need any counsel. No matter what ashram it is, then we're going to have problems. Another important point is that regardless of what ashram you're in, regardless of what your Krishna conscious lifestyle is, we must give the holy name the pride of place in our life. That means we give the best part of our day for chanting Hare Krishna. When you do that, then Krishna will give you all intelligence how to live your life in a way that will allow you to smoothly make progress back to Godhead. The main thing that devotees neglect, and then their life gets so complicated, the main thing they neglect is the holy name. Sometimes when I go to different places, I just did this when I was in St. Petersburg, Russia. I have all the devotees say, okay, today we're going to have a mass excuse session. Everyone is going to raise their hand and give an excuse why they cannot chant Hare Krishna properly. So all the I say, come on, everyone, out with the excuses. And after a while, they get going. You know, yes, yes, I cannot chant with attention because I'm working too many hours. I cannot chant with attention because children at home. I cannot chant with attention because of this, because of that. And get it all out. And then I say, all right, suppose we just take all those excuses and throw them out the window. Then what? Everyone can have excuses about why I cannot hear the holy name. Sannyasis can also have excuses. So much traveling. Another day, another airport. Time zone changes. So every ashram can have the excuses. The brahmacharis can have excuses. We are lonely, we cannot chant. Wouldn't life be better with a Vedic queen? Or maybe not. Everyone came up with excuses. So, best to not take the excuses seriously and shape your life, mold your life, so that you take adequate shelter of the holy name of Krishna. Then, whether you're working or you're serving in the temple, you get the same advantage because of the holy name. And of course, the fruits of everyone's activities should be enjoyed by Krishna. It is very unenlivening and very dry to simply work for yourself. As soon as you are working, not only to support your Krishna conscious family, but also to help the spreading of Krishna consciousness, then your work becomes satisfying. Otherwise, no. You see, under the influence of material nature, we think that being selfish will satisfy us. The more for me, the better. I'll get this, and I'll get that. I'll buy this, I'll buy that, I'll travel here. And then, when we're more liberal, we think, but not only for me, but for my family too. Extended selfishness. But the selfish life, no matter how extended, is never satisfactory. Therefore, Krishna says straight out in Bhagavad Gita, those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. Could Maharaj please tell us how Maharaj joined ISKCON? That is a very long story. I had just finished university, and the month after I finished, I got my first book of Srila Prabhupada's. I read the book. It's called The Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. I read it immediately, and then I went to the bookstore to look for more books by Srila Prabhupada, and I bought Bhagavad Gita and an abridged version of Teaching the Lord Chaitanya. I read those books immediately, and then there was a coupon in the back to get more books from the BBT mail order, so I ordered more books. I didn't want to have anything to do with devotees, so I would always get my books from the mail order. I thought that the books were wonderful, but the Hare Krishna people were strange. In fact, my last month at university, I saw devotees on television. They were explaining their lifestyle. And I turned to my flatmate when the devotees were talking about their lifestyle, and I said, "These people are fools." That was my reaction. Then 8 months after that, I was in the Brahmacharya Ashram. So what made the difference? Srila Prabhupada's books. I didn't want anything to do with devotees. I just loved the books. So I read his books 4 hours a day for 6 months straight before I went to the temple even one time. I just read and read and read, but I never would go to the temple. But finally, I had read my book so many times, and I had gotten a notice from BBT mail order that Srimad Bhagavatam deluxe edition, first canto, was coming out. And I had to have it immediately. My desires were so intense. I must have the Srimad Bhagavatam, the encyclopedia of the spiritual world. So I said, "I can't wait for the book to come from the mail order. I'll have to go on the streets and find a devotee." So I did that. I went to a big bus terminal where I knew devotees were. And there was one lady Sankirtan devotee. So I walked past her to see if she would stop me. And I walked past again. Then this is a big bus terminal, thousands and thousands of people in New York City. So finally I just walked up to her. And I thought I was asking a normal question, but now I can understand. Of course, it was quite unusual. I just walked straight up to her. You can imagine if you're a Sankirtan devotee on the street, and someone just walks up to you and says, "Do you have Srimad Bhagavatam?" I just thought, this is a normal thing, you know? I didn't know that this was very special, you know? So she just looked and blinked her eyes for a few moments and, you know, didn't reveal her surprise. Just said, "Oh, how do you know about this book?" I said, "Look, I don't want to get in any conversations. I just want the book and then I'm going to go. All I want to know is, do you have this book? That's all." But she wouldn't let go. "Oh, but tell me about yourself. What do you do? Have you been reading these books?" "Stop. I don't want to talk anymore. I just want the book. Give me the book. I'll give you money. Then I'll go." But she went on and on and on. And started asking questions. "So you've been reading these books for a long time. What do you do?" I said, "I just finished university." "So, you know, yeah. Oh, what university did you go to?" And I told him, Then she started talking about that they were trying to get a new center for their New York temple, and they were looking for donations. And so you should be able to give some donation to help for us getting a new center. It's going to have a library, seminar room, this, that, the other, restaurant. I said, "I'll tell you the truth. I have never given in my life one penny in charity. I'm not going to start now." So she wouldn't give up. No, you should help us. You should help us. She was attuned Sankirtan devotee. I don't know how the university system here is in South Africa, but in the USA, it's like the British system. In the British system, you have Oxford, Cambridge. In the USA, you have Harvard and Yale. So if someone hears that you went to one of those places, then they know. So she immediately, uh-oh. Of course, I didn't know also that it's very rare that someone from that those kind of places becomes Krishna conscious, because usually they're so puffed up. I was puffed up, but somehow the Lord Chaitanya gave me some mercy. So I just didn't think it was a big deal. But yeah, I've just graduated from such and such university. Oh. And you're reading all Prabhupada's books, huh? I said, yes, yes, they're wonderful books. And I just want the book, and then I'm going to go. I don't want anything to do with you people. But she was expert. So then she said, you should give a donation right now. I said, I'm not giving any donation. She kept persisting. Finally, I said, look, even if I wanted to give a donation, I don't have any money with me. She said, well, where is it? I said, oh, it's at my father's flat. That was like a 30-minute ride on the tube. Right. So I don't have it with me, so even if I wanted to, oh, it's at your father's flat. Let's go. I said, wait a minute. I'm not going to my father's flat with somebody looking like you, wearing these strange clothes with a white mark on your forehead. No way. But she wouldn't give up. Come on, let's go. Let's go. So we went on the train to my father's flat, and but I made her stay on the street. I wouldn't take her upstairs, the 14th floor, but my father's flat. I didn't want to be embarrassed in front of my family. So I said, either way, here, I'll come down with something. So I went up, the elevator came down, and with my checkbook, and I wrote her a check for $1,000. So, she took the check, looked at it. $1,000. I want $2,000. I said, wait a minute. I've not given one penny charity in my life. I've just given you a check for $1,000. You want $2,000. And she was very insistent. Yes, everything belongs to Krishna. You've read so many books. You know, all the money belongs to Krishna. I wasn't really listening to her preaching. Super Soul was tricking me. I was thinking, because all these big apartment buildings were around, and I was thinking, everyone's looking out of their windows watching me talk to this strange looking woman. My reputation in the neighborhood will be totally lost. Of course, I didn't know anybody in the neighborhood. But anyway, I was thinking like that. I heard this voice say, better give her what she wants, then she'll go away. So I wrote out a check for $2,000. And that was it. I still hadn't gotten Srimad Bhagavatam. So then, 2 weeks later, I was walking through the bus station again. Not looking for her, though. I had some material destination in mind. So, gosh, this is really fun. She was there on Sankirtan, and she saw me. She said, oh, there you are. I said, no, no, there I'm not. You've helped us so much. It was 2 weeks ago, though. Don't you want to help us again now?
No, no, no.
Never. But she wouldn't give up. Finally, after a half hour, of persuading, again, we went on the subway. I made her wait outside. I went up to the 14th floor, got my checkbook, came down, and I wrote out a check for another $2,000. So by that time, I said, look, I've given you so much money, I guess I should go to the temple for the first time and find out what it's all about. Because I've never been to the temple yet. I said, yes, it's true. Actually, she said, you may not know it, but at this point, you're a life member. A life member? What's that? So, yeah, you've given so much money, you are a life member of ISKCON. I said, well, what are the benefits? He said, well, you can travel, you can stay at any temple in the world, and you get Maha Prasad. I said, Maha Prasad, what's that? Oh, it's special food offered. You'll find out when you come to the temple. So I was interested. Maha Prasad. I had read something in the Bhagavatam about it, so it sounds like something I read. Special Maha Prasad. So I said, okay, I'll come to the temple next Sunday, and I'll see what is Maha Prasad. So I finally went to the temple for the first time. That was January of 73, and by March of 73, I was living in the temple. Now you can see that it's possible for anyone to be Krishna conscious. That lady devotee, she's serving in Vrindavan. She's been in Vrindavan for 30 years. Whenever I see the Mataji, I say, okay, can you give me my money back? I could really use it now. You know, we sannyasis were traveling so much, you know, we could really use it. I could use it now, you know. Let's see. Oftentimes, a question is asked, why Bhagavad Gita begins with a violent war scene and not otherwise? Please enlighten. Krishna knows how to catch your attention. Bhagavad Gita is very provocative. Krishna knows how to create the most intense, captivating drama so that you'll pay attention to what he's saying. So he makes his leela in such a way that you are intrigued by it. And the proof is that for thousands of years, even outside of India, people are intrigued by Bhagavad Gita, although they don't understand it because they're not hearing Bhagavad Gita through parampara, but they're intrigued by it. This battlefield scene, fighting between family members. So Krishna has packaged it in that way to provoke our intelligence. We have to think. It causes you to think. And war is a provocative thing. So by grappling with this whole problem of war, you understand. You're able to understand what Krishna is saying. Mm-hmm. How we're not the body. How there are proper ways to live. How even the Supreme Personality of Godhead makes politics. Yes, if you can understand how Krishna makes politics, you'll go back to Godhead. It's getting near election time, yes? Understanding that politics is not going to help. If you understand Krishna's politics, you go back to Godhead. The Lord says, janma karma cha me divya, evam yo veti tattva. Just understand my appearance in this world and my activities, my politics. Then, upon giving up the present body, you'll go back to God and you won't take birth again. Krishna's making political arrangements in a battle for the Kurukshetra. What is the nature of the Kauravas? They were materially qualified. It's not that Duryodhan and company had were unqualified people. No, they had ability. They were materially talented administrators. There was only one problem with them. What was that? They were anti-Krishna. Therefore, although they were materially qualified, Krishna wanted them out. And he wanted his people in. That's politics. I want you guys out of office. I want my people in office. That's Bhagavad Gita. Then you have to ask, well, who is this Krishna to cause all this commotion just to have his people? Who is Krishna to cause all this turmoil just to have his people in power? Then you have to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everything is dependent on Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita forces you to understand who is Krishna. Otherwise the whole thing breaks down. Bhagavad Gita has no meaning unless you understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it provokes you. It's very provocative, the whole scene. If someone has been diagnosed with a chronic disease and has had many opinions and tests proving this, should this person just accept this situation and concentrate on their Krishna consciousness, or should this person have hope and continue going for more tests? I'm sorry if this question seems insignificant, but your advice would be most greatly appreciated and valued. You have a duty to maintain your body as much as possible because the body is used in Krishna's service. But there's a point when it will become obvious that you can't maintain the body any longer. And then you realize, I'll relinquish this body and get a better body for Krishna's service. So it is your duty to do your best to maintain your body. Maintain your health. But if it is obvious that nothing is going to work, nothing will remedy the situation, then you accept it as Krishna's mercy and you concentrate on your Krishna consciousness, making the best use of the bad bargain, the bad body. For example, recently we had the glorious departure of our dear godmother, His Holiness Jagannath Maharaj, in Mayapur. He struggled with a chronic disease until it was obvious that the body was becoming useless. Why cling to a useless body? Better to get a better body for Krishna's service. So he relinquished the body. And if you look at the pictures of him after leaving this world, his body looks so peaceful. You can see he just went wherever Prabhupada wanted him to go for devotional service. So he did his best to see if there was some cure. Sometimes it was also bewildering because he was in India and Mayapur, and so-called Ayurvedic specialists would come. Just take my medicine, drop all other medicines, I guarantee you'll be cured in 2 weeks. Yeah. So, should I believe him? It became a little complicated. But he just depended on Krishna. And he said, I just want to make it. I just want to live long enough to see the Panchatattva installation. So he did that in a couple of weeks more. And then he departed. With devotees chanting Hare Krishna and holding a picture of Prabhupada before his eyes, he left this world. In the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, relating to the Mohini incarnation, the nectar, it was stated that the demigods drank the nectar and gained immortality. How is this possible, since the universe is only 100 years of Lord Brahma's lifespan? How much is Lord Brahma's 100 years? 311 trillion years. You can't imagine that. You can't imagine one day of Brahma, 8,640 million years. Can't imagine that. So, immortal meaning longer than you can calculate. But everyone in this material world with a material body must meet the end. But nectar of immortality means for such a long life you can't calculate. Just like your beginning in this material world is unknown. Therefore, it's said to be beginningless because you can't trace out the beginning. Everyone and everything in the material world, whether on the highest planet or the lowest planet, meets its end, even Lord Brahma. If Lord Brahma is a devotee, like he is in this universe, then he goes back to Godhead at the end of the universe. But it's not that the Lord Brahmas in every universe are pure devotees. The Lord Brahma in this universe, it's a small universe, therefore Lord Brahma only has four heads. So that Brahma in this universe, he's made his Sanghita, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That's the Brahma of this universe. Anything else? Yes. Highlights of the Panchatattva installation. It was a very spiritually wonderful occasion. The deities are absolutely stunningly beautiful. The deities look like they're in the middle of kirtan. Lord Chaitanya is like that, and everyone could realize that they could be happy simply by chanting Hare Krishna and staring at the beautiful forms of the Lord. You have seen videos of it, yes? Holiness Bhakti Sri Maharaj's video team has made a video you haven't seen? I'm sure you will. In time. Yes. I believe someone in Pretoria, Shamasunda, told me he has. There are two videos made, one by a Russian team and one by Bhakti Sri Maharaj's team. So one covers everything from the making of the deities until their installation, the other focuses on the installation. So Shamasunda in Pretoria has, I'm sure you can get copies. Then you can see. You can get a projector screen. Everyone can see. Okay? Yes?
We've heard a lot about the work you do in New Zealand and Australia, but a lot more. So it was because you know that he was with us about it.
Who told you that?
I've heard a few words from Australia and Maharashtra.
Oh, that's a long subject matter. It comes from an idea that later I found out Srila Prabhupada had stated after I started doing this. Around 1975 or 76, Srila Prabhupada said to his secretary, I believe it was someone who was Krishnamurti, said, now we have enough temples, no more temples. What we need is restaurants combined with reading rooms, places where people can come and take prasad and then go and read the books in comfort. So what you're asking about, the so-called law program, is basically cafe combined with seminar discussions. People are comfortably seated at tables for prasad and comfortably seated on couches and discussing Bhagavad Gita. In not a lecture type way. So it's meant to make people feel comfortable. Especially for those who are unfamiliar with Vedic culture and Vedic knowledge. Because many times they have these barriers in their mind that it's an exotic culture, it's different. If you just tell them, come into the temple, bow down, and sit on the marble floor like you are doing it. So, this program is meant for introducing Krishna consciousness to people in a very comfortable way, based on friendly association, good prasad, nice discussions. Minimizing what seems to them as cultural barriers, but still giving the essence of Krishna consciousness. That's a nutshell. Anything else? Yeah.
So I was just wondering how we can become experts at applying the teachings of Bhagavad Gita in every situation.
If you want to become expert in applying the teachings of Bhagavad Gita in every situation, then try to present Bhagavad Gita to everyone you meet, and Krishna will give you the ability. If you have the realization that Bhagavad Gita can handle any question, then Krishna will show you how indeed that is so. And when you try to do that, you'll get the intelligence how to do it. That's why it's good to have discussions based on Bhagavad Gita. You can show people that any topic, any angle can be handled by Bhagavad Gita. But first you have to think that. Otherwise, how are the people going to think that? If you have the attitude, yes, this is our holy book, we keep it on the shelf, it's a little too difficult for you to understand, then they'll get that attitude. Yes, the Hare Krishna books are difficult to understand. But if you are convinced you can understand this book in good association, let us discuss. And then they'll get that experience. Things increase. The Krishna consciousness increases. Everyone starts thinking, it is possible to understand Bhagavad Gita. It's fun. It's pleasing also. Let's get others to do it. In this way, Krishna consciousness increases. All right. I thank you very much for your kind attention. And I look forward to seeing you all again. Many of you are going to Durban for Ratha Yatra. All right. So, by Krishna's mercy, I'll also be going there. I've heard that Durban Ratha Yatra is a very spectacular yet. Okay. So, it'll be my first time. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Glory to the Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.